This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, YouBetterYouBetRadio.com Sports. We had a really fun off-air show just now with Colin Wilson, who's the best college football handicapper in the business. On Twitter, at underscore Colin1. Colin, well, I'll say the best college football handicapper that's not one of my co-hosts on You Better You Bet, because we got to give a hat tip to our guy Ken Barkley as well. But we love our guy Colin Wilson, who, outside of Ken Barkley, the best college football handicapper out there. On Twitter, at underscore Colin1, Colin with two L's. You got to make sure you're following him on Twitter, on the Action Network app, where he gives out, where he gives all his picks. And you got to listen to his podcast with our buddy Stucky, the college football podcast presented by the Action Network. The great Colin Wilson joins us now here on You Better You Bet. So we were watching literally the playoff rankings show here revealed during the break. We wanted to hold this segment, go live once we found out the rankings. So Bama 1, ND 2, Clemson 3, Ohio State 4, A&M 5, Florida 6. Your reaction?
Well, I think it's quite, I mean, if you look at this from a power rating perspective, they made a lot of mistakes here. I mean, they made a mistake with where BYU is, but they did give Cincinnati a shot. And that makes me the most happiest, because I put out some charts on Action Network, some rankings out today that essentially look at what all these teams have done from a success rate and explosiveness standpoint to see if they belong with the teams that have competed with the college football playoff teams from the past. And Cincinnati and BYU absolutely do, especially from an explosive perspective. Both Cincinnati and I'd say Oregon from 2020 are putting up numbers from an offensive side that we just haven't seen in the playoff before, and that includes Oklahoma teams that had Kyler Murray, Oklahoma teams that had Baker Mayfield. I mean, from a defensive standpoint with Cincinnati, their defense is better than what we saw with Roquan Smith in Georgia in 2017. So I'm glad that there's a path for Cincinnati. I feel like Texas A&M is the ultimate like cock-blocked one. Like, you're not going to get into that top four. Not with a loss to Alabama, you know, and we're happy that you beat Florida, but Florida's going to hop you if they happen to beat Alabama in the SEC championship. I think it's interesting that the committee has made a stance to take one loss, Clemson at 3 and Ohio State at 4. Just, are we trolling Buckeye fans? Now, listen, personally, I agree with it after what I saw from the secondary and the Buckeyes this past weekend against Indiana. I don't think they're going to be able to stop explosive passing attacks from the likes of Alabama and Florida. So I get it. I would like to hear the committee tell me why that they dropped them that far, but it's the right move. That makes me happy that they're not looking at one loss records. The BYU down where they're ranked at 14th is just absolutely stunning to me.
So you mentioned, so takeaways from that. So BYU and Cincinnati are interesting. BYU probably not getting enough credit. Cincinnati getting credit, which is makes you happy. And I think it makes me happy too, because I think when we kind of, you know, extrapolate what the four teams could actually be, like, you have Clemson, Notre Dame 2 and 3, they're going to play. One of them is going to make it, one of them is not going to make it. Alabama's 1, Florida 6, they're going to play. One of them is going to make it, one of them is not going to make it, probably. And then we'll get into that Alabama discussion 6 weeks from now that we have every single year. So of the teams that are in that top four, though, you said you thought it was interesting Clemson left. Like, from a power rating standpoint, this is how you started your point, like, is Alabama, like, do you have Alabama way higher than the others? If this actually was the playoff, like, would Alabama be a huge favorite over all the other teams? Like, what are the actual margins between the teams that are kind of being considered for selection?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that you asked that, because I'm staring at them right now from the Action Network. They're published out there if you want to go look at the power ratings. And I would make Notre Dame a 7-point favorite over Cincinnati. Now, in between that is just a glop of teams. We're talking Oklahoma, Georgia, Texas A&M, Wisconsin, there's just a glop of teams in between the Notre Dame and Cincinnati's of the world, but it's all within one possession And I think Cincinnati definitely deserves a shot. I'm not so positive, and we can get into this, but I'm not so positive Notre Dame is escaping with their undefeated lives against North Carolina this weekend. But, you know, from a power rating perspective, Alabama is much higher than everybody else. Ohio State, I dropped them 3.5 points after what I saw against Indiana. They do not have what it takes on the defensive side of the ball to A, control the trench, B, play coverage. Michael Penix Jr. is not Trevor Lawrence. He's not DJ Uthia Galili. He is not, you know, even Ian Book. So Ohio State's got a lot of problems on their hands. And then after that, Clemson, I'm waiting for Clemson's linebackers to come back, the James Skalski, Jones. They need some of their best linebackers back before, you know, they're a great defense again. They'll probably get a power rating bump once I see them stopping teams from scoring points again. But, yeah, they definitely got it right with the top four. I think Alabama, the more I look at their numbers, are just far ahead of anybody else, and that includes their peers at the top with Ohio State and Clemson. They're doing things in pass coverage. We all know about the offensive explosiveness, but they're doing things on defense that has not been there the last couple of years that has kept them from winning a national title.
When it's all said and done, Colin, the final four teams in the college football playoff will be what?
This is tough, Nick. I mean, this is tough, right? So Alabama and Florida, they're going to go head-to-head, and I would power rate that about a 9.5-point game. And I think at the end, Alabama's doing enough on defense to get by in that game. We'll see if they actually cover. Florida's been an unstoppable machine. They're doing things from a success rate on offense standpoint that we haven't seen in the college football playoff before. We'll see if those numbers play out as the competition gets a little bit harder with Alabama. But I'm going to go with Alabama in the first slot. After that, I mean, is Ohio State going to lose to Northwestern? I'd make that game 18.5 right now. I believe SP Plus would make that game about 20. So I'm not really sure. We saw what Northwestern can do, and they're not a joke defensively. They can shut teams down. And I'd be a little bit nervous if I was Ohio State, because Northwestern has the defense to shut anybody down that's not the Clemson offense and not the Alabama offense. Everybody else, they can shut down their points. Can they score any points? No, absolutely not. They're putting up some atrocious numbers. So you got to give Ohio State in there. The fact that they're fourth, I'm not sure if they'll finish second or third or fourth, but the committee obviously doesn't like them. After that, you have to go with whoever's going to win the ACC. And, you know, we think it's going to be a Clemson-Notre Dame rematch. There's an outside chance at Miami. There could be some losses here. Notre Dame could lose to North Carolina. Right now, it's a zero loss and 2-1 losses, and we'll see how they fill those two slots. I think it's interesting to hear Dabo Swinney get pissed off about FSU possibly ducking them, because the way ACC chooses their two teams to compete in the ACC championship this year isn't Atlantic and Coastal Division winners. It's win percentage. Now, I know that if you look really far down in the tiebreakers, a head-to-head comes into play. But if teams keep canceling on Clemson, you know, I mean, Miami's got 3 games left and Clemson's just got 2. Clemson keeps getting cancellations. We're going to have some interesting developments in the ACC. So I'm going to go with Clemson there. I think that they would actually beat Notre Dame in a rematch, because they'll get their star linebackers back, which is just vital to their pass defense. And that's where Ian Book targeted. Notre Dame hadn't shown pass all year. Now it's on film. Clemson should be healthy in the linebackers. I would take Clemson in a rematch by far. So Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and then it gets very interesting, because essentially, can Oregon keep this up? That defense can't keep them undefeated. They're going to trip up with that defense. They're allowing everybody to score. You let UCLA with a backup quarterback score 35 points. I don't have any faith in you in making it to the end. So I'm tossing them off. After that, are you going to do an at-large? Are you going to do Texas A&M? You expect them to come up from the 5? They don't really have any games, you know, unless they blow LSU out by 70. They don't really have anything to stand on from here on out. BYU's out the door. There's no way they can get up with the schedule they have remaining. Cincinnati's got to put the hammer down on Tulsa, and that's what it is. Tulsa's getting some recognition. You see them in the college football playoff top 25. Desmond Ridder is going to have the game of his life, which he's been having all season long. They have to hammer the Tulsa defense and possibly slip into 4. They're good enough to do it. I don't know if I'm bold enough to say they'll do it yet, because it seems like the committee has a hard-on for Oklahoma. And I think that's the one where I'll go with, is Oklahoma at the 4 spot. They, for some reason, have a hard-on with this team. I think Oklahoma can finish out the season strong. They're going to end up with 2 losses, and they may be the first team ever in the history of the college football playoff to go into the playoff with 2 losses.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
By the way, and after Ken, and just real quick, after the craziest college football regular season in the history of the sport because of what's happening around the world, we end up with the final projected four of Alabama, yeah, Ohio State, Clemson, and Oklahoma.
Where have we seen this picture literally before, right?
Right.
Think about it at the end of the day, guys. Do you think that committee is going to sit around and say, we have Oklahoma, Big 12 champ with two losses, and we have undefeated Cincinnati, who played no Power 5 teams? What do you think the decision? I can tell you from an analytics perspective. I can tell you from a power rating perspective. I can tell you that Cincinnati is way better than Oklahoma. It's not going to matter in that room.
Well, they're also going to tease Cincinnati because Cincinnati is going to be higher than Oklahoma like every week until the Big 12 championship game, and then they're going to say, well, like, matters to win your conference title, and Oklahoma plays for a better, like, it's just, this is like a, I mean, it's like the easiest to follow narrative that they're teasing us with in the entire world, and yet we all know what the ending of the movie is, and they don't even need to try to tease us with it. So I don't know, that'll be kind of interesting. A game that you mentioned, and we can kind of turn the page to this weekend's and
say this,
have playoff
implications. Hold on, kid, let me say, would it not be a dream matchup to see Cincinnati and Luke Fickell get Ohio State in the semifinals of the college football playoff?
That'd be what, like, would you greatest line that game?
Looking at the numbers right now,
like two touchdowns,
13. Yeah, 13. But you know what? They can beat them. They can beat them. That's a live 13. Score.
Right. Yeah. They'll score in the game, which is important. So, and I mean, if they slow down Fields on like two possessions, they have a chance to cover. I mean, look at what Indiana did. So I think that's interesting. I think your comment about Notre Dame is really interesting. Like, we were really hyped on Carolina to start the year and North Carolina, and they, you know, didn't perform well enough to sort of merit any further recognition, but they're still insanely talented, which makes them really live in these games. I think that's like kind of what leads us to this first game discussion. So Notre Dame and UNC play 3:30 on Friday, day after Thanksgiving. Notre Dame 5-point favorite, which kind of shows you the credit that North Carolina gets, despite the fact Notre Dame's beaten Clemson. They're less than a touchdown on the road in this game. Astronomical total, which, I mean, any Carolina game, I think you're going to have that 67.5. You kind of alluded to the fact you thought there was upset potential in this game. Have you bet UNC, or are you going to bet them any of the numbers?
Yeah, FanDuel had it out at 8.5, so I got some of that 8.5, and frankly, if it gets back to 6, I'd buy it again on North Carolina. I think North Carolina is very live. I think that they can beat Notre Dame. I would probably, this is a game that I project around 5, so I'd probably take it at 4.5, too. I really think this is, Notre Dame is absolutely on upset alert. You know, Notre Dame ranks outside the top 70 in both explosive categories for the rush, their rush and their pass defense. They have a really high pass coverage grade. They're not really allowing a lot of yards after contact, but they have not seen wide receivers like this, or at least, you know, I would venture to say that Clemson, that was the one big area coming into the season where we were worried about Clemson, was the fact they didn't have Justin Ross. T. Higgins has made his way to the NFL. Amari Rodgers is coming back for his senior year off of a huge injury. We just didn't have a lot of options for Trevor Lawrence to throw to coming into this season. North Carolina is a completely different animal. You know, Ian Book and the Notre Dame passing attack, they really took apart a Clemson defense that was depleted with some of their best coverage players, like I said, in the linebacker corps. So, I think the over definitely is worth a look. I projected at 68. I think it's really important to look at North Carolina's tackling. They're only 96, so Notre Dame is going to be just fine. Whether they choose to go back to old Notre Dame mode and run the ball, or they choose to throw the ball, much like they did, I don't think they're going to have any kind of resistance getting points up on the board against North Carolina. I think where I wonder how much I should lay pregame versus in-game is if North Carolina gets down by two possessions, you better bet that the seconds per play are going to go way up. And the number of bombs that Sam Howell is throwing 25 yards down the field is going to go way up. So is this something I want to take live, or am I good with my position? And I'll see if Notre Dame gets a grinding lead at the beginning before, you know, they turn the furnace up and it starts to become a shootout.
The Iron Bowl is somehow some way this week, which seems insane. Alabama is nearly a 4-touchdown favorite, which is also insane. So Bama, massive favorite against Auburn, this Iron Bowl in Tuscaloosa, total 62.5. Any chance your guy Bo Nix can keep this game within shouting distance for Auburn?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I went through all these scenarios in my head. It's like, okay, you know, when I wrote the piece up for Action, it should be out tomorrow. It was, let's make a case for Auburn. And I just went through this bullet list of ways to say this is the way Auburn could cover the number or win the game. And I just didn't see it. And we have to start with Auburn's offensive line. Both their tackles, left tackle, right tackle, are presumed to be out. They're listed as questionable, but Malzahn is dropping hints that we just need to plan for them not to be there. And that our backup, who has filled in at the tackle position, he's had 70 snaps, he's going to be just fine. But if you look at his pass coverage grade, you look at his run blocking grade, it's actually not that great. So Bo Nix may be playing without his right tackle and his blindside tackle. And on top of all that, Tank Bigsby, one of the best running backs in all the SEC, just a masher, couldn't finish the Tennessee game. So he may not be playing in this one either. And that is really bad news going up against this Alabama team that is just showing it on both ends. And I mean, assuming everybody's fully healthy for Auburn, they've got to deal with Najee Harris. Auburn has some of the worst numbers defensively in the trench. You look at him 118th in power success, 116th in stuff rate on defense. Harris is just going to steamroll these guys. So I don't see a way. Healthy or not, I don't see a way for Auburn to cover this number.
Colin, I'm not up on my Big 12 conference title game tiebreakers, but I feel like I might need to be, maybe after this week especially. We have a couple games here, so, you know, kind of just your thoughts on the Big 12 with, you have Texas and Iowa State basically has become a pick 'em game in Austin. Iowa State currently leads the Big 12. They have a 6-1 record. They are ahead of all of the 2-loss teams, Texas of which is one of those. Then you have sort of the fallout from Bedlam. Oklahoma wins. Now they're a 2-loss team. Oklahoma State's a 2-loss team. Oklahoma is a big number over West Virginia. So you've got Iowa State, Texas kind of fighting for maybe one of those top spots. You got Oklahoma, a big favorite against West Virginia, probably the inside track for the second one. Anything for you in any of these Big 12 games with big ramifications?
I haven't made a play on Oklahoma, West Virginia, but this is a spot where Oklahoma, it's a part of the season where they find their groove and they seem to cruise. They are in cruise control right now. West Virginia does play very good pass defense. The real key in that game is going to be whether they can get pressure on Spencer Rattler, but Rattler is looking better. I'm not going to give, you know, too much credit for what happened against Oklahoma State. Yes, that is a good defense, but Oklahoma State was without, you know, some key injuries there, especially with Spencer Sanders. So, but the Iowa State Texas game, I did play the over. If Texas loses this game, Tom Herman may be out. I mean, I don't know if they're going to go South Carolina and just say, get your ass out. But I mean, this is it for Tom Herman. If he can't make the Big 12 championship game, it's a sayonara. But I mean, everything that I see with this game isn't over, except for the weather. 25% chance of rain, 10-mile-an-hour winds are going to be sideline to sideline. So it should hurt, you know, a kicking game a little bit, although the special teams for Iowa State is pretty much a strength. But I expect points. I mean, Texas is 12th in pace. They're top 40 in pass explosiveness, and Iowa State has not been good against pass explosiveness. They're actually outside the top 100 against that. And if you look at Texas, their strength is their rushing game, especially with Beyond Robinson. And that is something that Iowa State has had problems defending, at least from an explosive standpoint. Poor tackling by both these teams. PFF grades them 81st for Iowa State and 118th for Texas in tackling. I mean, I don't know what it is with Texas. It's a yearly thing where they just cannot seem to learn. You're the biggest university in the biggest state with the deepest amount of recruits, and you produce the worst tackling teams year in, year out. That's all on coaching. So I like the points in this one. I'm sorry.
Kyle, you know, like, it's like, if you like that, you'll love this. If you like all the COVID shit in college football and handicapping that, you're going to love the 2020-21 college basketball season. We are going to get games starting tomorrow. Anything over the next couple days, Kyle, that tickles your fancy in terms of the old college hardwood?
Yeah, I put some plays out. If you guys haven't downloaded on the Action app, I've already got a bunch of totals and a bunch of plays in there. Really, for me, it's about looking at tempo on tempo. If I can find two teams that are extremely fast, I'm just going to take an over, and we'll see what happens. If I can find two teams whose tempo is slow and that could deal with coaching change, that'll probably result in an under. And there's a piece that I put out on actionnetwork.com today that lists at returning starters. And, you know, I think returning production is such a big deal in college football. It controls the market in week one for lines. I don't see why it's any different in the age of COVID, where returning starters for your basketball team and continuity and having basketball practices over Zoom. If you have any kind of new coaches, new schemes, and if you have zero returning starters, that should be noted in your first game. Generally, college basketball market is so much different than college football. The public has a say in where odds makers, tend to open up the number. They can expect where all the handle's going to be. The handle's not big enough in these college basketball games for most of the bookmakers to care. So what they do is you're hard pressed to find a number that is outside KenPom. I mean, I hear a lot of people are like, well, I make this number this in college basketball. Why? The odds makers are basically a shade off of KenPom, maybe a point here, maybe a point there. But really, you should just follow the KenPom, but dig a little bit deeper and find out who's not good at guarding the arc, who's really good at shooting the three, who's going to give up a ton of boards. I mean, look for the things that actually matter. Who hits their free throws, right? Those are teams that go over, and those are teams that cover. If you go out on actionnetwork.com, you'll see teams that have 5 and 4 starters going up against teams that only have 1 and 0, like the St. Louis's of the world have 5, the Radfords of the world have 0 starters. So go out there and read that piece, and you'll be caught up on what teams to back and what teams not to back early on.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Colin, the absolute best in the business, my friend. You promoted a lot of the stuff. The Action Network College Football Podcast with Stucky, @_Colin1 on Twitter. All of Colin's plays on the Action Network app. My friend, hope you have the best Thanksgiving, you and your family, that you continue to stay safe, and that you win all your bets, my friend. And we look forward to catching up with you again real soon here on You Better, You Bet. Thank you very much, my friend.
You guys too. Thanks for having me. Have a good Thanksgiving.
That is the great Colin Wilson here with us on You Better, You Bet. You know what really annoys me?
What annoys you?
Jesse Palmer is too handsome. Like, it actually is, like, offensive to me, like, how, like, this guy could be, like, so a heterosexual man. I live with my girlfriend. Whatever. Just saying, like, this guy is so handsome, it's actually obnoxious. Agree, disagree, ambivalent?
Yeah, indifferent, I guess. Yes, he is handsome. Yes, I wish I had hair. All of those
He's got great hair, blue eyes, hair. And like the perfect beard.
I can't look directly at it, though. So I get too jealous.
It's like, fuck, man. This guy's like, it's annoying.
And maybe tomorrow I'll wear a different hat, you know? We both lead great lives.
This went down a dark path.
No, I'm just kidding.
I didn't expect that.